All right. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. Chapter 18. Acts 18, verse 12. Acts 18, 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Archaea, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law," that is, the Jewish law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you." I want you to look at that phrase. If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, I would bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. "I don't care" has a lot of different meanings depending on when, where, and how it is used. If it's used in an indifferent way, it can mean that they don't want to have to make a decision. You make the decision so that they've got somebody to blame if it goes wrong. If it's used in anger, particularly by a spouse, you know you're in a heap of trouble. Many of us will recognize it. "I don't care." When you hear that, just get your pillow out, head for the doghouse, you're in trouble. If it's used in disgust, it means that they're tired of you asking. And if you ask them one more time, they're going to knock your head so far that you'll have to send a plane to find it. You'll recognize that one. "I don't care." Some of you are already smiling. Okay. If it's used casually, it can mean that we become conditioned to where I don't care anymore. You know, I don't care. I'm going to look at the first three, and the first three, I'll tell you, I'm going to have some fun with. I'm going to have fun with the first three, but the fourth one is where I'll spend most of our time. And I want to sound an alarm loud and long and pray that it wakes us up before it's too late. Now, some of these things, and after I had my notes typed, I went back and put this in. Before I get into the fun part, rest assured that my wife and I do not have all of these, but many of these, in fact, most of these are things I've heard from other couples, other people, many, 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 many times over the years. And I've heard them so much that if you're the exception, thank God you're the exception, but you're also the minority. So with the first three, let's have some fun, all right? There is the indifferent. "I don't care." I had a tough time finding a right word to put, you know, in there. So I finally decided indifferent, but I think you'll understand what I mean when I get started here. Where do you want to eat? We've all had that experience of asking our spouse or maybe someone else, "Where would you like to eat?" only to be told, "I don't care. Any place is fine." "Well, how about McDonald's?" "No, I really don't feel like McDonald's." "How about Shoney's?" "No, I really don't like Shoney's." "How about Cheddar's?" "No, they're too slow." "Captain D's?" "No, it's too greasy." "Well, where do you want to eat?" "Oh, I don't care. Any place is fine." You know I'm not hard to please. Do I want to ask how many of you have had that conversation? I think every one of us here have. Recently, while traveling, we couldn't decide where to eat. You know, and it's like, okay, next exit, they got those big blue signs, blank, you know, McDonald's, Captain D's, Wendy's, all this stuff. Does any of that sound good? I don't care. I went right on past the exit. You just passed the exit. Nobody cared where to eat. Finally, somebody made the decision, get off at the next exit, I don't care what's there, and we're eating at the first restaurant we see. Well, the first restaurant was a restaurant saloon, so we didn't stop there. But you know, it's like nobody cared, but yet everybody did care. Oh, how many times? Which outfit do I look best in? Men, I'm telling you, there's no way to win with that one. Because most of the time it's a lady asking, we men personally, most of us couldn't care less. I mean, if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't match 90% of the time. I would have a gray coat with pink pants and orange shirt and a polka dot tie. Wouldn't bother me. But when the wife says, honey, which outfit do you look best? Honey, I don't care. You look beautiful in any of them. Wrong. Well, I like the blue one. Okay, I'll wear the green one. Oh, you're all laughing because we've been there, haven't we? You understand the indifferent, I don't care. Then there's the angry or hurt, I don't care. The angry, I don't care, often follows a disagreement. And it goes like this. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do because you're going to anyway. I'm not getting as many smiles. That one got a little more serious. You never listen to me anyway, so I don't care what you do. That's an angry, I don't care. Go ahead and buy that new whatever. Because I just don't care anymore. The hurt, I don't care, is a little different. But it's something like this. You know what? I don't even care anymore if you jump off a bridge or step in front of a car. That means they've been hurt. And they're lashing back in the only way they know how. I don't care anymore what you do after what you did to me. That's a hurt, I don't care. There's the disgusted, I don't care. You've asked the same question 50 times, looking for a different answer, and finally, I don't care. That means you better stop asking and move on to something else. But what about number four? Number four, and we'll use our text for most of it, I call it the unconcerned, I don't care. I think perhaps this is the worst I don't care in the book. In our text, we find, going back previously, that Paul has been preaching, and a lot of people didn't like what Paul was preaching because folks were getting saved, a church was established, and a lot of people were upset. And so when Gallio, who was newly appointed, the other proconsul, the other deputy had been transferred, Gallio moves in, and the Jews think, you know what, this guy is new, let's take advantage of it. And so they begin to make insurrection against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. And the charges were, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Gallio rightfully, and I want to stress that, Gallio rightfully said, you know what, as a civil, secular ruler, I'm not going to get involved in religious opinions. I say rightfully because I don't want the secular government telling us what we can and cannot believe. I wish we had some political leaders who took that attitude. Gallio said, look, if it were a matter of wickedness, if it were a matter of lewdness, if it were a matter of wrong, I would deal with it. This is a religious matter, and it's not the place of the Roman governor or the Roman deputy to intervene and decide which religion is right and which religion should be punished. I say rightfully, because that was the intent of our founding fathers, is that the government shall not establish any religion over another. By the way, that's totally different than the wall of separation you hear so much about. Gallio quickly dismissed the charges against Paul, drove the Jews from the judgment seat, and then in verse 17, the Greeks. Now this wasn't a matter of religion. The Jews had a difference of religion. Do we believe Paul or do we believe Moses? Which religion do we follow? Gallio said, get out of here. I'm not getting involved in your religion. But now the Jews, seeing the Greeks, seeing the Jews run off, they decide to inflict punishment themselves upon Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Now, if you go back and look a little bit back there, I just read it a second ago. Anyway, Sosthenes was saved under the preaching of Paul. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul said that Sosthenes was our brother and was actively engaged in working with Paul. In 1 Corinthians 1:1. But now we got Greeks who have nothing to do with religion, beating up, inflicting bodily harm. They beat him, and the word beat is there to beat, literally beat up. They beat up a Jew and had nothing to do with religion. They just decided to beat him up. And I'll get into some reasons, but Gallio, seeing this go from Jew to Jew, to Greek to Jew, cared for none of those things. He didn't care that an innocent man was being beaten illegally by the Greeks in his very presence. Now the problem is, as the Roman deputy, he could have and should have sent a band of soldiers to break it up. Part of his responsibility was to keep down any riots, any insurrections, any fighting, keep it down lest it become a problem for Rome. These Greeks were clearly breaking the law, and as the Roman deputy, his job was to enforce the law. This wasn't a matter of religion, it was a matter of civil rioting. So why didn't Galileo care? And there's a lot of ideas, a lot of people make excuses for him, but what does the Bible say? And what do we know from history that ties in with the Bible? We know from the Bible and from history both that the Romans did not particularly like the Jews, period. They considered the Jews a thorn in the flesh. They didn't care at all if every Jew had drowned. Rome would have been perfectly happy because they hated Jews. Sosthenes was one of the rulers of the Jewish religion. If a Jewish ruler got killed, that's just one less Jew I have to deal with. And since it wasn't hurting him personally, and it was actually helping his cause of getting rid of Jews, which made him look good in Rome, he simply chose to ignore a clear-cut case of wrong. He was willing to ignore right and wrong as long as it helped him and his cause. As I thought about this, I don't care about wrong. I don't care about right or wrong. I don't care about injustice. I don't care about wickedness. I don't care about lewdness. I begin to think of so many people today. The attitude that prevails today, even in most churches, is, I don't care. I don't care. I confess, not to our glory, but to our shame, that we all, starting with me, going all the way back, we all have become desensitized to some degree or other to right and wrong. I remember I was young, but I was old enough to remember. When the movie Gone with the Wind first came out, it was almost censored. Because at the very, very end of the movie, it contained one cuss word. And it was almost censored for that one cuss word. Things have sure changed since then, haven't they? When the movie came out, and at the very end, he looked at her and said, "Frankly, dear, I don't care." Not in those exact words. I mean, people were aghast. People were almost ready to riot because he used a four-letter word on TV. Now that same word is used, well, I don't think you could even begin to count how many times that same word is used now, and we don't even pay attention to it anymore. You don't see rioting, you don't see boycotting, you don't see shock, you don't see people rising up in protest. What was just a few years ago considered totally unacceptable has now become so acceptable that the average person, and I mean nationwide, even particularly among religions, the average person doesn't care anymore. They don't care. It's been some time back. I told someone, I wish that were the only word we hear now on TV and radio. What was such a shock back then is now become one of the lesser words that are used. But you go to the average church, the average denomination, and ask them, does it bother you to hear outright profanity used? And the attitude will be, I don't care, it's a good show. Or it's funny, and I'll get to that one in a couple minutes. We're no longer shocked at words. With today being the Super Bowl, yes, I know it's the Super Bowl. Who is it? The Bengals and the Angels playing, or the Bengals and the Titans or something. Maybe it's the Reds and, you know, whatever. I know today is the Super Bowl, and I saw a clip this past week showing what's in store for the halftime, and then they showed the halftimes for the last 15, 20 years or so. Yeah, it'd be at least 20 plus years ago. And I was not really surprised, but I was surprised. Now, some of these people I don't necessarily know, or at least I know them vaguely. But I knew enough to know that halftime shows used to include people like the Judds. If you're into country music, you know who the Judds are. That is country, isn't it? Okay, yeah. And by the way, the picture they showed of the judge, they were fully clothed. Then I found one somewhere in there that was Tony Bennett. I don't know a lot about him, but his music was at least, you could understand the words. And they even had Paul McCartney. And I know when the Beatles. When the Beatles came out, everybody was, oh, he's horrible, he's terrible, they're wicked. Well, he was one of the more tame entertainers at halftime. And then they begin to show the last 5 or 10 years, and I finally had to stop. Because from some point, somebody said Michael Jackson is the one that began to change the face of halftime shows. I don't know if I want to blame him completely or not. But we began with Janet Jackson and her wardrobe malfunction, and they're still debating whether it was accidental or on purpose. But you know, as it went on, even that became tame. I can't even say from the pulpit what some of the more recent ones have worn, or maybe failed to wear, would be a better idea. At some point, it became how few clothes can we wear and still be legal on stage? And I quit because it got so few that it was beyond reason at some point. It almost became a contest of who could reveal more and more each year. And the sad thing is that sort of behavior is now considered normal by many people. And they take the attitude, I don't care. I don't care what she wears or doesn't wear. I can remember in my real, real, real youth, chief of police was a member of our church when I was real, 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 real young. I mean real young, 4, 5, 6 years old. And at that time, a lady could be arrested for walking down the streets of Clarksville in shorts. What happened? I don't care. It's your body. It's your wardrobe. The sad thing is that people can go to Walmart, and I pick on Walmart because they're the ones that always seem to come out with the Walmart pictures. You know, look who's shopping Walmart. If you've never gotten one of those, Google Walmart photos. It's gotten to the point now where you can go out in public and be perfectly accepted with so little clothes on that I can't even tell you how little. And you can go out on the streets, in the mall, in the stores, and be perfectly accepted by the majority of people because of the attitude, I don't care. I don't care what she wears. I don't care what she doesn't wear. It's been moving for several years, but it's picking up speed with each passing day. If men can go without tops, why can't women? There's a move to make topless behavior legal and normal. Now, we'll fuss about it. We'll complain about it. We'll say, oh, that's horrible, that's terrible. But eventually, most Christians will give up and say, it's not worth fighting. I don't care anymore. We've learned to not care about the adult scenes that occur on TV. There are some shows, if I called their names, I hope and pray none of you watch them. I've never watched them, All I've seen is the commercials. And the commercials are so vulgar, so filthy, so suggestive, that even the commercials ought to embarrass us. And I've talked to other Christians and, you know, oh, that's one of my favorite shows. How can you watch that show when everybody there is sleeping with everybody else there? And how can you possibly watch that show? Oh, it's so funny. We've developed the, I don't care what they do, as long as it's funny. It's hilarious. I don't care if everybody on the show is sleeping with everybody else. It's funny. Come on, get a sense of humor, preacher. Where's your humor at? My humor left a long time ago. This isn't in my notes, but I'll throw it in for nothing. I wonder, and this is just me wondering, if the increase of rape and other offenses might be in part because we see it, we hear it, it's everywhere we look, and we begin to think that that's normal. And many men will act out on it because they turn on the TV and every show they watch, everybody's sleeping with everybody else. And they think that's normal, and they go out and try it on some lady only to find out that may be normal on TV, but that ain't normal in real life. You know what? If it wasn't for the fact that people watch it, their sponsors would soon drop them, and they would have to go off of TV from lack of sponsorship. But I'm amazed, and you know, in the last couple months, I've talked to several people that would be considered faithful Christian people, and they watch these shows and think, well, yeah, there's a few immodest scenes, but hey, I don't care, it's funny. And I wonder, when did we develop I don't care to the point that we now don't care about sin, we don't care about adultery, we don't care about incest, we don't care about murder, we don't care about anything. We've been so desensitized that by the filth and the innuendos and the outright pornography and the wife swapping or the casual affairs that take place. By the way, maybe it's me, but I don't believe that a man can walk down the street past a total stranger. Lady, past a total stranger, smile and say good morning, and next thing you know, she grabs him and heads off to a motel somewhere. I don't think that's normal. I don't think that happens in proportion like it does on TV. But if you watch TV, even if you just watch the commercials, total stranger walking down the street, hi, how are you this morning? Great, let's go to bed. It doesn't happen, but nobody is complaining about it. We've developed, I don't care. Sadly, many Christians don't care about politics anymore. We have been so beaten down that as Christians, we think it's somehow wrong to care who's running for president, governor, senator, representative, mayor, or any other office. We have been so beaten down, we have been drilled and drilled and drilled that Christianity has no place in politics, to where if you talk to most Christians, well, let me take it back. If you talk to most church members, across the board, who are you going to vote for president? Oh, I don't care. You better care, I'm telling you. Even on the side that I lean toward, there is a huge, huge difference even in the men that are run and woman that is running on my platform. You better care, because the next president can literally destroy this nation as we know it. Our forefathers cared enough that they signed the Declaration of Independence. They cared enough that they wrote the Constitution to protect men's God-given freedom. And by the way, if you read the Constitution, they were very emphatic that freedom comes from God, not the government. Freedom of religion comes from God, not the government. They fought and died to defend the freedom of America. And many of the soldiers and many of the captains and leaders were pastors of the churches. They would preach on Sunday morning, get down, put on their uniform, grab their gun, and go out and fight the enemy. And the men of the church would follow them into battle. But so many Christians, oh, I don't care. I don't care. I talked to a man last week who is, I would consider a very upright, good man. And he brought up politics, not me. And he said, you know, I really don't care enough to even keep up with who's running. And I thought, that's why we're in the trouble we're in. Christians don't care. We don't care about morality. We don't care about infidelity. We don't care about life. I remember when Roe v. Wade passed. Christians were up in arms. There's still a few people that are. But for the most part, we've accepted it. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing I can do. I don't care. I'm just going to live my life and I'm going to move on. I understand that many people are fed up with politicians. I am too. I understand that all politicians are liars. I'm not trying to, you know, that's just a fact of life. If you're a politician, you have to lie to an extent to get there. I understand that we're fed up, we're sick and tired, and we don't care enough to even get involved anymore. But folks, I don't care allowed an innocent man to be beaten up in front of the judge by a group of people who had nothing to do with religion. I don't care is one reason that things, you know, we blame everybody under the sun, but in truth, God never commissioned the Republicans or Democrats to be the light of the world. God never commissioned the Masonic Lodge to be the light of the world. God never commissioned the Salvation Army to be the light of the world. God commissioned us to be the light of the world. And the attitude that I don't care means that we've taken our light, put it under the candle, and we're content to just, as long as it doesn't bother me, I don't care what happens to anyone else. Many Christians have even gotten to the point that we don't even care that people are dying and going to hell every second. I read it years ago, and I'm sure the numbers have long since been changed. But when I read it, and that was 30 or 40 years ago, somebody in the world died every second. Every second. I'm sure it's higher than that now. Every second, look at your watch, every second somebody just died. And the vast majority of those died lost many of them never having heard the gospel. Do you care if people die lost? People are dying every second. Somebody lift their eyes in hell. And we don't care because we have a nice church, nice building, wonderful, marvelous, talented, outstanding pastor. And we really don't care about anybody outside. We have friends and loved ones that are lost. Do we even care about that? I don't care. When somebody says that, sometimes it's a sigh of just total frustration. But I beg of you, somewhere down inside, reach down into the innermost part of your being and get that I do care attitude back. What do you care about? It's funny, people know every baseball player, every football player. They know their averages. They know their number of yards per run, yards per game. They can tell you every baseball batter's average. They can tell you every pitcher's ERA. Yeah, ERA. But they can't name the 66 books of the Bible. They can tell you the averages of every sports team under the sun, but they can't quote one simple verse of scripture. What do you really care about? What do you care about? Maybe we need to examine ourselves and see, what do I really care about? I think all of us would be shocked with the answer if we were honest with ourselves. Father, we come. And Lord, I know that this is not something that happens overnight. The things that we've mentioned have crept in very, very, very slowly, almost undetected by the human eye, until it's almost too late. Lord, I understand that the tide is rolling against us. The nations of this world are against us. Even our own country is turning against us. But now's not the time to give up and quit and say, I don't care. Now's the time to stand up and get involved. We may be overrun, but at least we can be overrun standing for truth and standing for right. I don't ever want to forget those that are lost. Lord, may every time we think of them, it bleed and break our hearts. Every time we think of them, may it cause us to say a silent prayer for their salvation. And Lord, we pray that even tonight it would please you to save them. In Jesus' name, amen.